choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome everyone to this episode of Deep Space High, sci-fi TV review podcast, where we break down the latest, maybe not so greatest, from today's sci-fi TV. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
Chris, another day, another dollar.
Yeah, right. So, what's going on with you, brother?
Not much. Played golf today, first time in like a month and a half, and that went pretty well, so that was fun.
Yeah. I heard you got a birdie on one of your holes, and then a bird came by and retaliated on your scorecard.
Yeah. I wrote birdie on the second, but now that I'm looking at it, I missed a stroke, so it was actually a par. So,
story of your life.
I had no birdies, but I had like nine pars.
And then, you know, a bird just so happened to come by and shit on your scorecard. But yeah, that's just, yeah.
Is what it is. Those were the holes where I started to fall apart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was an omen. Bird was trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. Yeah. What'd you end up shooting?
I didn't count it, but I was 9 over going into the last two. I think I was right around an 81, but it's a super easy course.
Oh.
But my short game, I know this is a sci-fi nerdy podcast, but my short game was on point. It saved my ass.
Oh, yeah? Was it you or were you playing with someone?
No, I was by myself. I took the day off work, and then I didn't get grouped with anyone, so I was playing alone. But I was like, you know those shots that the pros make where they hit a chip shot like 30 feet in the air? And then they hit a hill, and then they get a good bounce and put it within 5 feet of the pin.
Yeah.
I did that like 4 times today.
Oh, nice. How convenient that nobody else was there to verify that. No.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. Right. I have some good shots. It boosted the confidence after last time I played atrociously.
Oh, I know how you feel. I've only been able to play once every blue moon, really. So I have not been playing well every time that I go out and play. But all right, I think that's enough about golf. We're talking about the wrong podcast there.
You can do it. You can do it all night long.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it.
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it.
I'm gonna go do it.
What do we got in store for this episode, Steven?
Well, this week, we are actually doing our first season overview discussion, where instead of breaking down per episode, we are talking about the entire first season of Star Trek Lower Decks, the CBS All Access streaming show.
Yes. We just finished it. I just finished this episode, I actually watched pretty much the entire second half of the season today, so I should be able to remember most of it, unlike most episodes. But I thought I guess let's just kind of jump right into it. I thought this thing was funny as hell. What did you think?
Well, I started off watching it week to week as it was coming out, and then it lost my attention. I didn't care for it after about 4 episodes. I think we discussed it. I don't know if we discussed it on the podcast, but we definitely discussed it. Per our other conversations, that I didn't really care to go over this on this show. This show is in Deep Space High. But, you know, right.
We had a week or two to fill in.
Yeah, Star Trek. Like, okay. The episodes are 25 to 30 minutes long. I had to sit down and watch 6 more episodes this week. So, but it surprised me a little bit, and I ended up enjoying it more than I thought I would have.
Well, I think once you figured out that you need to not be sober to watch it, it's a lot better.
Well, I think there was not an episode I watched not sober. I watched them all sober, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I did the opposite. I watched none of them sober.
Yeah, that'll change your perception on how you view the shows.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch it sober, but I thought it was funny as hell. Even from the get-go, I mean, I had pretty low expectations. If you've been listening to our conversations, even just brief conversations in previous episodes, you know that I had low expectations. It looked very PC. The humor from the commercials or the advertisements didn't look really good. And I kind of expected, you know, bad attempts at Star Trek jokes from writers who knew nothing about Star Trek. And I was pleasantly surprised that I got the exact opposite. And I loved the humor and I loved all the jokes in the show. I mean, because it was funny and it was Star Trek related. And it's like something, it was something more for fans. And it was something that I definitely did not expect. I mean, because I got almost every single joke that they were trying to make and it was fucking hilarious. So
yeah, it was one of those, seeing the trailers and TV spots and everything, I didn't really care for it. It gave off that Rick and Morty vibe, and I think that's kind of what they were going for with the animation style, which style wise I don't mind. I didn't think the animation looked bad or whatsoever. It's not my favorite animation style, but that was the only positive that I had going into it. Otherwise, I had almost as little interest as I do for the third season of Discovery.
Oh, I have no interest for Discovery whatsoever. This was my bar for
Discovery. My bar for Discovery is super low, and then this was right above this.
Really? See, I mean, my expectations was actually about the same, but this show definitely exceeded my expectations. I was thinking about this because when I was watching the show, I was thinking to myself, if you don't know anything about Star Trek, you're not going to get any of these quips. Like, there was one line, and he was making it, I think it's an idiom. He was talking to, and I say he as in Ensign Bollmer? Is it Boimer?
Boimer.
Boimer. Yeah, when he was talking to Ensign Mariner, the chick, and he just quickly went, yeah, you're acting like a hopped up cube on Captain Picard Day. And I'm like, holy shit, that was funny as hell, because it was quick and they played it off and they knew exactly the
yeah,
and the other ensign knew exactly what the hell he was talking about. It was funny as hell, and I laughed my ass off, and I'm like, I'm stealing that, and I actually wrote that down. There's a lot of those little lines that I'm like, that was fucking great.
Yeah. Speaking of it, I mean, this show follows, I mean, the inspiration for this series was from the Next Generation season 7 episode with the same name, Lower Decks, which follows, again, four ensigns working their way to try to get a promotion on the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching that for the first time, and I love that episode. That's a great episode of Star Trek.
It is.
Because you're following these guys, you have no idea really what's going on on the bridge and whatever mission they have to come up with. And then it ends kind of in a gut wrenching way when one of them goes on a mission and ends up getting killed on the mission.
Right.
So I didn't know how I felt knowing the seriousness of that episode turning into, you know, this animation comedy style of a show. I really wasn't looking forward too much to it. As I mentioned earlier, coming into this season.
Oh yeah. I agree with you on coming into it. I had low expectations, but I was pleasantly surprised because, you know, that episode that you bring that up is actually one of my favorite episodes too. And the ensign who passed away in that episode was actually referenced in another episode with Wesley Crusher when they were with Delta Squad, I think. I think that's what it was called, where they were in the flight group and they were put on trial because there was an accident. She was one of the pilots who tried to cover up that accident. And that's where the reference, or just a little bit of Star Trek background for you.
No, I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting because when you brought that up, they actually brought it up in one of the episodes during the seasons. I think it was the episode when they were put on trial. And they were talking about how, yeah, because they were given their perspectives. They were interrogating them.
You mean
them.
The fake trial celebration party?
That was the weirdest.
I didn't see that coming. That was the weirdest thing.
I knew it was going to be like
something
weird.
It's supposed to be about me.
Like you've been grilling them. Like it almost looked like a Klingon interrogation.
Yeah, and I was watching that episode and I didn't care for it. And I didn't care for it until the twist came out that it was supposed to be a celebration party and they were supposed to retell the events
heroism
of what happened on that mission and celebrate his rescue. And I was like, okay, the episode got a lot better after they revealed that twist. And I was like,
oh yeah. And then the party guy came in. He's like, oh, sir, you only get 22 minutes to use these chambers. And he's like, and they're like, well, who the hell's the guy been staring at us the whole time? He's like, oh, I'm just waiting for my daughter's 100th birthday. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's just, it shouldn't have worked, but it was funny as hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And there's just a lot of good moments. Like I said, my first impressions, first four episodes, I didn't care for it. I stopped watching it until the rest of the season was released. And then I essentially binged the last four or the last six episodes. And I don't know why. I was kind of rewatching the first four episodes today. And it seemed I came into this expecting, you know, being Star Trek, you kind of think most of these shows are serious, they're more dramatic, they're more
you're thinking even Star Trek the animated series, to where it's literally the exact same thing as a show, just as a cartoon. That was kind of what you were expecting, right?
No, I'm just thinking, yeah, it's yeah.
Which it, they made I, fun of in the show. I love that part too. That was fucking great.
Yeah, they did. But I was expecting, you know, to me, Star Trek's always been serious and it talks about it brings in today's issues, but in subtle ways that it fits into the episode with other alien cultures. So I was expecting, or it was weird to see that tangent from this series where it's, you know, now it's animated. Now there's a lot of comedy involved. And some of the comedy, to me, didn't hit in the first few episodes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and so, that could be the case. It may have been just it may have just been the weed that was making these things funny. But I mean, I was laughing pretty hard because I understood a lot of these jokes. I mean, when they went into the holodeck, when what's her name, Mariner, when she went to the holodeck for therapy because of her mom, who was actually the captain, but nobody knew was having problems. And I didn't realize until they said something. Yeah, that introduction.
That no one else knew that they were mother-daughter.
Oh, yeah. Well, I kind of picked that up. But I thought what was funny is that, I don't know if you noticed this, but they made fun of the Star Trek original movie when they did that movie sequence on showing the ship. Because they did the over-dramatic sequence of flying by and constantly over-appreciating how beautiful the ship was. Well, they did that in the original movie in 79, I think.
Something.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Something they, like that. Because the graphics were like so new and so advanced and it looked so much better that they just spent 5 minutes in the introduction scene just showing off the ship with me. And then they made fun of that.
I didn't catch that because I've only seen that movie once and I've never finished it.
It's not,
but
a good
I know
movie.
It's towards the beginning. It's not a good movie, but that reference didn't click with me at first because I didn't really care for that episode where it was like a holodeck movie type.
I kind of liked it. It was a interesting character development, honestly.
It was kind of weird because that's the episode where Boimer kind of takes everyone's personal logs and recreates them in the holodeck, which seems like that should get you in a lot of trouble with the captain and Starfleet.
But they actually brought that up in The Next Generation when Barclay was originally having his holodeck problems and he used the likelihood or the image of his colleagues to as holodeck characters. And Riker was like, or I think it was Riker, it should be against regulations. And it's Geordi was the one defending him, like, no, I don't think there's any regulation against it. He's like, oh, it ought to be. but
well, no, there's one thing between using a likeness and, you know, simulating a character. It's another thing to take their logs, run them through the computer, and create a realistic simulation of what they might say or do in certain situations.
Geordi did it. I don't know. You may. I don't know if you remember
this. He did it for Dr. Braun.
Brahms, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he did it within a few percent likelihood of, you know, how accurate her psychological profile was supposed to be. I mean, he did it. He didn't have to. Hell, he even fell in love with the chick. Oh, but did you pick up the one part where when the captain was trying to send Mariner to do, who was it? Was it Mariner? Or I don't remember who it was, but punish him by sending him to clean out the biofilters in the holodeck.
Oh yeah, it was Mariner, because that was the episode where they were trying to force her to transfer off the ship.
Right. Oh my god, that was funny as hell. Yeah, that's
like,
pretty much.
That's
all
what those are used for. And he's like, almost exclusively. I was like, oh. You know, with this show, it really felt like, especially the latter half of the season, it felt like an animated Orville type show.
It almost did, and I think that's why it was so funny.
And I think, that's when it started growing on me, is when I kind of opened my mind, took it out of the seriousness of Star Trek, and considered it a animation Orville style of show. And then that's when it kind of became better and funnier with me.
Yeah, because then you would actually, especially in the last episode I actually thought was really good, not just because it was funny, but because it had a really good storyline, and it was actually
balanced the drama and comedy very well.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you almost thought like, oh my gosh, these guys are about to get fucked over, and it went real serious, but then they always found a way to throw in some humor somehow.
Yeah, little tidbits of humor. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's when it gets, you feel like there's stakes in that episode, and there is, because the chiefs of security and tactical officer, I don't remember, is it Lieutenant Shaw? What'd I say? Shax? The Bajoran.
Oh, yeah, yeah. the security officer. Kind of reminds me of the guy from Avatar, the colonel. Almost like an animated version of him. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, kind of. It's been a while since I haven't seen that movie since like 2009.
Really? That was,
yeah. Can you say Avatar? I think Avatar: The Last Airbender, not the Blue People.
Blue People Avatar. Yeah. I guess that was when it came out.
I haven't seen that movie since like 2009 or 2008 or 2009 or 10.
Weird, because I've been referencing. It's I been feel like I've been referencing that movie a lot recently.
You have. Doesn't mean I've seen it. Seen it recently.
Maybe you should rewatch it. You might get the references more then.
Maybe a little bit. Man, I wonder if the writers of this show was trying to stick as many Easter eggs and references into an episode as possible. Because it felt like
every
30 seconds to a minute, there was a new reference to something. There was a reference to, Chief O'Brien. There was a reference to, mm-hmm. I mean, shit, you even see a Q cameo in one of these episodes. You see,
which, and I know sure you brought this up to me. I think that was the actor that played Q, the voice.
I think it was too. It sounded, it sounded like there was parts. I mean, we're talking about 25 years later, 30 years later, but the voice, there was times where it didn't sound like him, but there was times where it was like, you could really tell it was him.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it was. But the thing is, the references, they hit the spot, and they did a really great job of making it to where the references did make sense. Mm-hmm. I remember one time they were talking about the salt vampire that the first officer, what was his name? Jack Ransom.
Ransom. Yeah, that's a weird name.
Yeah, it is a weird name.
Hey, we're going to ransom if he ever gets captured.
Mm-hmm. But he was talking to the
ransom.
Yeah, but he was flirting with the salt vampire, which was a reference from Star Trek, the original series. Actually, I think it was from the first episode Kirk was in, because the salt vampire was the chick who played Dr. McCoy's like ex-girlfriend. And he kept like sucking all the salt out of the crew members, and that was a reference, but I thought that was funny as hell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
yes,
and you
now
just
that
see,
sounds familiar.
Yeah, and you see like a lot of those references. Like another one that they were talking about was when they had that flashback of a shapeshifter and being too perfect for a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they talked about Data and how it turns out Data, the only android in Starfleet, has a twin evil brother who worked with the Borg. Which I thought was weird because
they didn't know
about the Borg at the time, did they? No, they did. I take that back. But
yeah, because this takes place, and this is one great thing about the show, not to cut you off, but it finally explores post Next Generation. This is the in-between Picard and in-between Next Generation Voyager and Deep Space Nine.
Because this is the generation right after Next Generation.
Yeah, because this takes place in 2380. You can see the uniforms are changing, but you see Riker come in at the end of in the finale with his old uniform that they had in Nemesis.
Which is finally accurate,
in command
the
of the Titan.
Mm-hmm,
I recognize that because I was questioning the uniforms throughout the series until I saw Riker pull up on Titan in his old uniform.
Oh yeah. Oh, and I love that Jonathan Franks and I can't remember her name. The actress who plays
the Troy.
I can't remember the actress's name off the top of my head, but I'm really glad that they came in and did this because they did it perfectly. Yeah, who do you think was the one who got me all the contraband? Captain Riker.
Troy's like, what?
Uh-huh.
What now? Oh, nothing. Let's get back to what we're doing. Yeah, it was funny.
And then
see some of that. And then the jazz references.
Mm-hmm. Warp 5, 6, 7, 8. That was...
So
again,
did you catch,
hit, but
I'm sure you did, being the huge Trekkie that you are, you caught the Pike kind of reference /
oh,
Easter
yeah,
egg,
the
right?
Beeps. Yeah. Oh, on that ship.
That ship when they're going to the farm or whatever. And I know you can't see me doing the air quotes, but I'm doing the air quotes for the farm.
Right.
But you see two people in that kind of refrigerator box.
Yeah.
Was it three? I remember.
I think
two
there was
sure.
three. I think once they got to the farm, there was one. I think there was one on the ship, but there were two of them on the farm, and they were chatting it up on the when they got there. Oh, that's kind of bad to say, but it was still. But yeah, I did pick that up. I'm surprised you picked that up because I didn't know that you. Because one, it's not. A lot of people don't know this. When that actually happened in the original series, that's not the same actor who played Pike in the pilot. I don't know if a lot of people knew that.
Yeah.
But
I know I'm not a huge Trekkie, but I know shit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you know.
I remember that from the original series, and then you know they referenced it in Discovery Season 2 when Pike is shown his future.
Right.
So, I mean, so you see it. So I saw it relatively recently with Discovery.
Yeah, I forgot about that, if I'm going to be honest with you. Because he used, like, the crystals or whatever to see his future.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, I hate to say it. Lower Decks is better than Discovery. Like, I'd rather watch Lower Decks than Discovery any day. I mean, just from watching this first season so far.
I'll always take a good comedy over a good drama. But season two of Discovery was probably one of the best they've... It's definitely the best season of Star Trek they've put out since switching to, you know, the CBS All Access Star Trek universe.
Now, I'm curious. I don't know if you still talk to this friend, but you said that you had a work friend who was a huge Trekkie who listened to the show early on. And I remember that, you know, you said that he was impressed on how much I know, but has he seen Lower Decks?
Yeah, he actually texted me this morning. He was listening to another podcast and they were talking about the season finale of Lower Decks, and he made some comment and then said, you know, fuck you. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, did I piss you off? He's like, no, I'm talking about the final episode of Lower Decks. I was like, I haven't gotten there yet. He was like, oh, let me know when you get there. he was pumped. He said, because I was telling him I didn't care for it. I told him, don't get CBS All Access. Just wait until Discovery comes out. He's a big Discovery fan. And, you know, just kind of binge it then. And so that's what he did. But he he started it like a week ago, and he was like, dude, this show's, it's hilarious, it's awesome, and he really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, and that's kind of the reason why I asked, because I think that whoever were the writers of this show, they were Star Trek fans. They grew up watching this show. They knew all the little details and nuances, all the little trivia that most people don't pay attention to, but real Trekkies do. And I feel like that's who they made this show for. They didn't make it for the, you know, Discovery fans or any new fans that they're trying to get. They did this one for the OG fans who really know and really like.
Yeah, and it was, and that's what I, it was really, yeah, it was really noticeable then. That's what they made it for, that they knew what they were doing. Because that's one of our complaints about other shows like Picard and even certain episodes of Discovery, was it just didn't feel like it was Star Trek fans writing the episodes. It felt like they were trying to cater to a new audience, when
right,
definitely not the case in this series.
Yeah. Oh, definitely not. And I'm really confused on the direction of Star Trek, because I saw one that they're apparently going to be doing they're bringing back the actress who played Captain Janeway in Voyager, and she's getting her own show now, which I actually kind of like.
Well, no.
One, she's a good actress, and I actually really liked Janeway.
I don't think she's getting her own show. So there's this show, it's going to air on Nickelodeon. It's a kid's Star Trek show, and that's what she's supposed to be on.
Kid's Star Trek show? I don't know. Yeah, I haven't read too much into it. I just heard about it, and I also heard that I guess they are working on plans for the next 7 years. Like, they have a 7-year plan on what they're going to be doing with Star Trek Universe.
Well, they need to.
Yeah, I mean, they do. I'm just, we're getting a lot of mixed information, because I remember not too long ago, there was question in whether Star Trek was even going to be sticking around. Like, if CBS was even going to be keeping it. So, I mean, it's...
Well, yeah. They've announced so many shows. For example, there's Discovery, there's Picard, there's Lower Decks. There's the Section 31 show that we're supposed to get with Michelle. Is it Yeo or Yao? Michelle Yeo. I think it's Yeo. With her, there's a Stranger World show that we're supposed to get with... God, what's his name? The guy who played Pike. Anson Mount? Something like that.
I don't know.
You know, he's getting his show that's going to take place on the Enterprise pre-Kirk era. So, I mean, they've announced so many. What they really need is a show that'll go in between the years, or maybe even after Picard. Let's get into the future. Let's stop exploring the timeline of established eras and talk about a non-established era.
I actually, well, I agree to a half extent. I would like to see more on the Romulan Wars. Because I don't know if you know this, but the Federation actually went to war with the Romulan Empire. And this was, according to Star Trek canon, after Star Trek Enterprise, the show ended, that's actually how they were going to, you know, develop the show. They were going to develop it into the Romulan War before it got canceled after 4 seasons. The Enterprise actually led the Federation, I guess, early Federation? Was it Federation?
Well,
but they led the fleet against the Romulan Star Empire, and there was a lot of conflict, and they built it up a lot in Star Trek Enterprise, with a lot of references in the future, early Romulan warbirds. I would actually like to see a storyline with the Romulan Star Empire that went that, if they were to go to the past, but I think that's about the only extent. Maybe going into the eugenics wars, maybe old Earth, World War III, kind of get maybe a little bit more story, but something a little bit different than what they have been doing in the past. That I definitely do agree.
Well, that was the point I was going to make. Either, you know, put it into the future after Picard, or explore the era between Enterprise and the original series. So
right.
Thanks for taking that point.
Sorry.
But back to Lower Decks, there was Captain Archer references. With I know they mentioned him a couple times, and then the princess on ice or whatever, whenever they had to rescue the guy. Well, there was
the Archer reference was actually not just an Archer reference, but a Star Trek Enterprise finale reference, in which Jonathan Frakes guest starred in that episode for the finale of Star Trek Enterprise, because in that storyline, he played the chef on the ship.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that, and I was like, wait a minute, because he's on the Titan during this, but the events of him going back and watching the crew kind of live out the final days of that Enterprise was a Next Generation type situation.
Oh, hats off to you. You are correct. So the storyline for that is that Picard, or not Picard, Riker was having conflict on whether or not to tell Captain Picard about the... Oh, what's it called?
The cloak ship, the experimental ship.
Yeah, for the Pegasus.
Ship.
Yeah, about the Pegasus.
Yes.
It was a... I'm trying to remember the name of the device, though. Matter Phase Discriminator. Device. Yeah, It changed the state of matter, so that's why the ship in that episode reappeared half in an asteroid. Half of it materialized in an asteroid because it could phase through matter.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and that's how they did it to where... That's
what confused me, because I remembered it being, you know, clearly somewhere in the middle of TNG, but now he's referencing it here when he's commanding the Titan. I was like,
yes,
maybe he just went back and redid it again. But
yeah, I mean, I picked that up too, and what I figured was because Pegasus happened in season 7, that episode, so it was a later, and Titan took place maybe 4 years later. So I just figured, you know, maybe, I just figured that he almost saw it as a helpful book, you know, because that's how they view the holodecks, you know, through history. Is it's almost like living.
You mean
books.
Those who don't use it as their sex kingdom?
Well, I'm sure he still does. He spent Riker. Plenty of time with it. Yeah,
I mean, not maybe not that he's married to Troy, but yeah, definitely.
I figured it'd be
Enterprise.
He's married.
Enterprise D holodecks definitely saw a lot of Riker's D. I bet.
Yeah, they had a. Oh, those poor lower decks guys having to clean those up.
I know, like Mariner had to.
Jeez. But
what
yeah,
did you
I just
think
figured
of the
it'd
characters?
Be like
a, how'd you like?
I like the characters. You notice the actress
so,
who
I mean,
played the Orion chick? What's her name?
Tandy or something like that. It's her last name. I don't know her first name.
Yeah, Ensign Tandy. I think that's the same actress who played Carol in Archer. I think that's the same voice actress. Yeah, it sounds just like her.
It sounds just like her.
That scream...
But I looked up the actress who plays her, and I know the actress who does Carol in Archer. That's Judy Greer. And it is not Judy Greer. The actress who plays Tendi is... Oh, damn it. It's not listed there. Where the hell did it go?
Are you sure it's
I
not
had
her?
It pulled up
I mean,
just
it sounded,
in case.
It sounded
it's not
just
her.
Like her, because I remember
it
hearing,
sounds...
or on that one episode where, another great reference, what were they called? Robocoms? No. I can't remember, but that was another reference from the Next Generation.
I don't know, Poe.
Where Data thought that, Exocoms, the floating little devices.
Oh, robot thing? That was
Yeah,
weird.
It was the Exocom.
Like
Well, that was from The Next Generation. The Exocoms was an episode in The Next Generation where Data thought they were becoming sentient machines and refused to send them in to their deaths.
Oh, yeah, the little microscopic things that were they were taking over systems of the ship.
Yeah, and then this was a reference or a continuation from that to where now they become sentient. They have intelligence. They can speak. They were joking about how I joined Starfleet just to piss off my father and get stuck out in space, which was funny as hell. But that scream, it sounded exactly like Carol from Archer. So I just thought it was her.
Nope, it's the actress's name is Noelle Wills. But there's two little dots over the E, so I don't know how that's pronounced.
Hmm.
But Noelle Wills, and then Judy Greer does the voice of Carol from Archer, or Cheryl from Archer, whatever the hell her name is.
Hmm.
Okay, so out of the four main characters, mm-hmm. which ones you like the best between Mariner, Boimer, Tendi, and Rutherford? Rutherford's the cyborg engineering ensign. Half cyborg, part cyborg?
Let's see. I don't know. I'm kind of torn between Boimer and Mariner.
Bummer.
Bummer. I know.
Because there was times where he was a bummer.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, especially after that whole thing with his air quotes girlfriend. Oh, poor guy. I feel bad for him. And that's kind of the reason why I'm kind of torn, because I feel like I can kind of relate to him a bit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I have his luck. To where it's nothing ever seems to
you have
right.
his luck, but you have you know, Mariner's distaste for rules.
Nah, I mean, yeah, kind of.
That's who
pretty
I
much,
that's
actually.
Who I liked the best. I liked Mariner the best. I felt like she was the highlight of the show. I mean, even though at first I didn't like her because she's always breaking protocol and then made it feel less Star Trek-y, but she grew on me, and
it was
probably
pairing.
My favorite character.
I mean, I thought that the
well,
two
well, yeah,
characters
they're
really
virtually
well
polar
together.
Opposites.
Yeah, and then I thought that was interesting. But let's see. I'm curious to where. I'm curious to how the Trendy and Rutherford thing's gonna go, especially now that Rutherford got his implants torn out.
Oh, yeah, so he lost most of his memory. So, I mean, I'm curious a lot of things how season two is going to set up because, you know, his memory's gone. He doesn't really remember anyone. And now Bummer is on Titan.
Yeah,
and
oh,
he's
that
no
was
longer,
funny as hell.
He's technically no longer Lower Decks. So,
oh, yeah.
What's
going to
happen
there? I love that. I love that he managed to get that transfer just the fuck over. Oh, she was not
just
happy
a fuck
about
Mariner.
That. Oh, I know.
No, that was... That was awesome.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, I gotta ask. Did Bummer try to pull the naked man on his girlfriend? Did you notice that? Remember when they transported to the ship and then Mariner got in the spacesuit and got through the airlock and walked in on him naked, but his girlfriend wasn't naked and she was kind of surprised too. So do you think it was
he was trying to do the naked man. I vaguely remember that because that's the last episode. I haven't seen that recently because I saw the first couple episodes again today and I watched 6 through 10 for the first time recently. So that's the only episode that I haven't seen within the last week or two. I think he did try to do the naked man.
Yeah. And I feel bad for the guy. He's so excited that he's got a girlfriend and only to find out the only reason these girls are fighting over him is because he's got a parasite on the back of his head that's fucking with his hormones, making these girls desire him. So, I mean, it's like, because after he gets that out, his girlfriend's like, yeah, I'm more interested in studying this parasite than dating you. It's like, oh, poor guy.
Yeah. Wah.
I guess Bummer really does stick. Oh. Yeah, man. More than once. That's
what Hence how you relate to him a little bit.
I know.
All right. The question, besides, because I think we could agree that the finale is probably both of our favorites. From this season, besides that episode, what is your favorite episode in season one of Lower Decks?
I think I'm gonna actually go with that the episode that we were just referencing about the parasite
Bummer's girlfriend.
Yeah, because there was a lot of like funny little things that I noticed that. That's where I noticed a lot of the innuendo lines. I thought the Geordi bear was funny as hell. I don't understand the point of that, but okay. And then it's funny. He just left the bear and the roses there. And apparently when he came back to leave, because he thought that they were splitting up, he just picked them back up again. Nobody touched them the entire time. But I mean, I thought that was funny as hell. I like the psycho badge. The holiday
that's
character.
The one I was going to reference. That was my favorite episode. And it is hilarious because I like the seriousness of the other storyline that is with Bummer and Mariner, but I like that Rutherford Tandy holodeck where the badge is just rage killing everyone because safety protocols are gone. And here's the funny thing is they're bleeping out cuss words on this show, but they will show a Star Trek badge ripping someone's head off and throwing it.
Oh yeah, and then like I'm gonna
where's
rip
the
open
logic
your skin
in that?
And wear it as a coat. I mean, it's like holy shit, they did some crazy shit.
There's some screwed up things in
it. Almost felt like Sausage Party. in that sequence.
It
too.
Did.
The badge reminded me of the douche from Sasha's party. I think it almost sounded like the same guy too.
I don't know about that, but I mean, he decapitates a person and then he breaks a person's arm in several ways and then pulls it off from the elbow. And it's like, you will animate all that and then he's going to wear the skin like a coat and you'll let him say that. But, you know, fuck is where we draw the line. That's what we got to bleep out.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like, okay, Star Trek.
Yeah, right.
Don't know what you're doing here, eh?
Oh my gosh. And then I hate to say it, but I thought the way that the solution that – is he a lieutenant or – no, he's an ensign. Ensign Rutherford had was absolutely brilliant, and it was funny as hell how they did that.
Because oh, freeze him out?
Yeah. I mean, it was genius because the idea is that if you're constantly moving, you're going to warm up because your heart's going to be faster, your blood's going to be pumping, you're going to have – you know, you're going to – it's going to warm yourself up, but this is supposedly a badge – which the opposite laws would go into effect because it doesn't have any blood. The more energy it exhumes, the less energy it's going to have left and the faster it freezes. So when he fought it off, it was to just to buy it time until it continued to freeze, which I thought was one brilliant. And then it was kind of funny as hell how he went full apologetic and then just snaps. I don't know how you snap a metal frozen metal badge's neck, but it worked. It was funny as hell. So, I mean, it was intelligent. It made sense, but it was still funny as hell how they did it.
Yeah, and I like how Badgie comes back in season 10 and he still has a grudge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, the chief of security died because of him.
Yeah, because he had to get Rutherford out of there. And Badgie was trying to, I guess, upload the virus to make Rutherford stay on the ship when it self-destructs, but Shax, the Bajoran, got him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was one screwed up episode, and I think that's why I liked it so much.
Oh yeah,
how
it was
bad
funny
he
as hell. The first officer was funny as hell in that conference room towards the end. He couldn't stop making boner jokes or boner references.
yeah.
So I mean that whole episode was pretty damn great. I'll give it that.
Yeah. And then another thing, I don't remember, I think it's episode 2 or 3. The Lower Decks officers are talking about buffer time. And I don't love the episode, but I like the idea of buffer time. It's, you know, the ensigns pretty much say, hey, something's going to take 5 hours, but it really takes 3 hours. So when I finish it quicker, you'll be impressed. And I was like,
oh, yeah,
that is probably the most relatable thing in this show because everyone does it in every profession.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it's not only that, but that's another Star Trek reference. That was from when Scotty joins the Next Generation crew. When Scotty guest appears in the next episode, he tells Geordi, if you want to be considered a miracle worker, you never tell the captain how long it's really going to take. Otherwise, they'll never think you're a miracle worker. And that's where that comes from.
Yeah, I do remember that episode now.
Mm-hmm.
But it really hit home. I don't know why it hit home more on Lower Decks, probably because it was the emphasis of an entire episode versus a line or two. But
oh,
I was
yeah,
like, everyone does. I mean, I've done it. I'm like, this task is going to take 2 hours, and then it really takes me an hour.
Oh, yeah, and it's like,
and I get praise when I finish it in an hour.
Yeah, right? And it's like these people are boarding the ship with sticks, but they're so hard-ass on not letting buffer happen anymore that they have to continue working while defending this invasion or this boarding party. And Ensign Bummer, he's the only one who's like able to get all this shit done. He's like, these guys have sticks. I got a phaser. And he's like, do-do-do-do-do as he's walking through. And it's like,
yeah. And that's one of the gripes I had. It was like, what Starfleet captain ever in their right mind? Now, you know, she wasn't in her right mind. Would ever make someone do tasks while they're being boarded and risking the ship? None.
Yeah.
And that was part of the gripes I had early in the season. It just, stuff didn't make sense. You would try to get in the head of a Starfleet captain, but that's not what was going through this captain's head. And it just felt.
But,
I'm glad it kind of switched tones. And
I think his show did a really good job at having growth within the characters. And, you know, I think in the beginning, you noticed how nobody liked each other. Nobody got along. Everybody hated each other. But at the end of the season, everybody's starting to get along. Everybody's starting to work together. And you're thinking, hey, this might be a really good cohesive team. And then Bummer screws over Mariner and transfers to the gets promoted and gets transferred to the Titan. But, yeah. You know, there was a lot of character development, a lot of character growth, which actually was very Star Trek. And I actually really liked. So.
All right. Well, what did you think of? I mean, I guess we've kind of covered what we thought. You really enjoyed it because you watched it high. I enjoyed the last half of the season. So, assuming there's going to be a season two, what would you like to see in season two?
I'd like to see more Riker and Troy. And I would like to see some more old school references. Just, I mean, keep the same style of jokes and humor that they did. Not the same jokes, but the same style, quick wits, references. You know, keep up the stuff that the Trekkies are going to enjoy. And just kind of continue on this storyline, because part of what made this one great was there's a lot of you went back to that episodic storyline, like the old shows, not the newer ones, to where new every episode with subplots. And that was nice to be able to see again, and I would like to be able to do that. But I really want somebody to take on the storyline from that season one, to where I can't remember the episode, but where those creatures that had infiltrated Starfleet in season one and from a distant galaxy and had taken the leader, had taken over the commander, and they go into the headquarters. I don't remember the name of it, but you know which one. I really want somebody to take on that storyline and finish that up. So I don't know, maybe that would be something to keep an eye out for, but I don't know. I just want to just keep seeing the humor. I mean, honestly, I really love the humor in the show, and they're really, as long as they can do that in season two, I'll probably watch it again.
Yeah. I think, if they can keep the style that they had for 10 and maybe in the last half of the season where they were able to have the comedy, but really you felt like there were stakes, you felt drama, it felt Star Trek. It's felt like Star Trek, but with humor, the seriousness of Star Trek, but it had a humor quality to it. And I think if they could do that, because that kind of what turned me off, it felt like it leaned more on comedy and then Star Trek references in the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of gradually started adding more drama and stakes, and it felt more Star Trek-esque, where you had a good plot and a very intriguing story along with the humor. I think if they can do that in season two, I'm on board. I would love to watch it. The humor was good. And I think if they could just bring that last Star Trek element like they did in the finale, I think season two can be pretty good too. And I want to see, you know, how they're going to continue. Is this going to be a situation where there's revolving characters? Because there's always going to be new ensigns, new lower deck situations, as we see, you know, these established characters get promoted up, like we did with Bummer moving to Titan, becoming lieutenant. Which, now that I think about it, he was a junior grade lieutenant, right? Because it was one full pip and then an outline of a pip. But when they promoted Mariner to try to get her to transfer off the ship, they promoted her to senior lieutenant. Two full pips. Did you notice that?
I did not.
So not only did they promote her, they skipped one ranking and went to another ranking above when she got her yellow uniform and all that fun stuff.
I don't know. The rank structure has always been one of the things that's kind of confused me, because it is kind of inconsistent. It's always been inconsistent like that. And it's kind of been a little confusing how that works, because you can have junior, for example, in the first season of The Next Generation, there was a lot of junior officers. Geordi was a junior officer. He wasn't the chief engineer. Worf was another one.
No, he...
You know, because Tasha Yar was the chief of security. So, I mean, it's the junior officers, and that rank structure has always kind of confused me in that sense.
Well, it's confusing here because they promoted... they gave her two full pips, but, you know, and then Bummer got a pip and a half when he got promoted to the Titans. I just minor error, or maybe I just don't know the ranking system, or maybe it's just not clear. So it is what it is. But I wonder if he's going to stay on Titan or if he'll go back to the Chirios and become a lower decks person again. But I doubt it. I kind of see it more as a, if it goes on for multiple seasons, a revolving door of, you know, new ensigns will be coming in.
Could be. I think they're going to maintain this kind of storyline between the two of them, though. And I think that Bummer's going to hate it and probably transfer back. So I don't think that we've seen the end of Bummer. And I don't think we've seen the end of the storyline. But we might get one or two new characters next season. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think if I got anything
else. That's all I got on Lower Decks. Pleasantly surprising. It exceeded the... probably, you know, the very low bar that I had set for it. So,
hey, I've been told many times great. That I'm very stubborn and hard set in my ways and not very open to change, but I was not expecting good things for the show, and I had my mind changed. I will gladly admit I was wrong on this, and I look forward to watching season two.
Yeah, I was curious to think how the harder core Trekkies and Star Trek fans like yourself, and like you mentioned, my former colleague,
colleague,
a former colleague, something like that. I didn't know how they would respond to the show, given the seriousness of, you know, previous installments. Is that whatever you would call a series? I don't know. I was trying to find a fancy name for series, but other series have set up where Star Trek has been relatively serious show. So interesting to find out that the two of you are on the same page, though.
So. Yeah, I know. I'm glad to know that too, because maybe my opinion's not wrong, and maybe I have opinion similar to what other Trekkies think.
Yep.
But
yep.
I'm not big into the community, so I don't know what other Trekkies think.
Should we punch it?
Punch it. We can beat him.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it. Punch it. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
What do we got in store next time, brother?
All right. Next time, Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 1. I don't know what it's called because I didn't think to look it up before. but we're going to be getting into the Mandalorian Season 2. We're going to, our ever-changing podcast. We might try something new with it instead of it'll be an episode discussion, but it'll be a discussion. We're not going to break down the plot. We're not going to try to give you a minute by minute detail, but we'll talk about what happens and have a discussion on it. So that's what you have that is what you have to look forward to next time on Deep Space Eye.
All right. Yeah.
Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Deep Space High. Join us next time as we begin /continue/ I don't know how to, whatever, as we talk about season two of The Mandalorian.
Right. Ah. And don't forget to keep the conversation going with #DeepSpaceHigh or #TacosAndTrek. And also be sure to check out our Facebook page at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews and check out our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast to stay up to date on our latest announcements.
Yes. Also, let us know what you think by leaving us a review, hopefully a good one, 5 stars. But leave us a review at Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Those reviews and any feedback we get go to helping us create a better show for you to enjoy. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris. And don't forget, live long and prosper.